From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted.
Lizard Man by Robert McCammon. The Lizard Man, king of his domain, rode on air into the swamp and gnashed his teeth against the night. He had a feeling in his bones, a mighty feeling. He was old and wise enough to know the power of such feelings. Tonight, yes, tonight, he would find the beast he sought, out there amid the cypresses and on the mud flats. Somewhere betwixt moonrise and dawn, the old pope waited for him in robes of gnarled green. Tonight he would pay his respects to the old pope, that chawer of bones and spitter of flesh, and then he would sail his lasso around the old pope's throat and drive his gaff hook into the white bellyfish to pierce a heart as tough as a cannonball. The lizard man chewed on his unlit cigar, the wind streaming his long white hair back from his leather-brown face, and powered the airboat over a sea of weeds. The light of a single battery lamp mounted on the frame behind his seat speared a direction for him, but he could have found his way in the dark. He knew the sound of the swamp, the chirrs, croaks, and whispers, and he knew the smells of the swamp, the stale wet odors of earth caught between dry land and sea. The lizard man had navigated this place in drought and monsoon. He knew it as a man knows the feel of a well-worn shirt. But in all these many years, the old pope had found a secret pocket and would not come out to play. "You'll come out," the lizard man growled. The wind ate his words. "You'll come out tonight, won't you? Yes, sir, you'll come out tonight and we'll dance us a little dance." He had said those same words every night he'd left ashore and ventured into the swamp. Saying those words was a habit now, a ritual, but tonight, tonight he could feel the true power in them. Tonight he felt them prick the hide of the old pope, like darts thunking into tree bark. The old pope, stirring in his underwater cavern, opening one red eye and exhaling a single bubble from the great gruesome snout. The lizard man changed his direction, a wrinkled hand nudging the tiller. South by southwest, into the sweet and rancid heart of the swamp, where honeysuckle covered the hulks of decaying boats and toads as big as dinner platters, sang like Johnny Cash. Some of those boats had belonged to the lizard man's friends, other lizard men, who had sailed the Sargasso Sea of the swamps in search of old pope and found their eternity here. Their corpses had not been recovered. The lizard man knew where they were. Their guts and gristle had nourished old pope, had rushed through the reptilian bulk and bloody ties to be expelled into the dark mud 30 feet down. Their bones had moldered on the bottom like gray castles, as slowly moths had streamed from their ramparts and consumed them in velvet slime. The lizard man knew. His friends, the old braggers and bastards and butchers, had made their living from the swamp, and the swamp now laid new foundations on their frames. "Gonna dance a little dance," the lizard man said. Another correction of the tiller, the fan rotor roaring at his back. "Gonna prance a little prance." He had seen 63 summers. This sweltering August was the 64th. He was a southern man, burned darkly by the Florida sun, his skin freckled and blotched, his eyes dark brown, almost black, revealing nothing. He lived alone, drank rot-gut whiskey straight from the moonshiner still, played a wicked game of five-card stud, had two ex-wives who couldn't stand the sight or smell of him, and he made his money off gator skins. He'd done his share of poaching, sure, but the gators were going wild in Florida now, and it was open season. He'd read in the paper last week that a gator had chomped 3 fingers off a golfer's hand when he'd reach into the bushes for his ball on a Sarasota course. That didn't surprise the lizard man. If it moved, or used to move, a gator would go after it. Mean sons of bitches they were, almost as mean as he was. Well, the lizard man figured it took mean and ugly to kill mean and ugly. A slight nudge of the tiller sent the airboat heading straight south. He could smell honeysuckle and Indian weed, the sweet tang of wild persimmons and the musky fragrance of cypress, and the odor of death in the night air, too. Rot and fungus, putrefying gas from the muddy bottom, something long dead caught in a quicksand pool. The wind took those aromas, and he arrowed on, following the beam of light. Wasn't too far now, maybe a mile or so, as the buzzard flew. The lizard man did not fear the swamp. That didn't mean, of course, that he came in asking to be gator bait. Far from it. And his airboat he carried two gaff hooks, a billy club with nails driven into it, and sticking out like porcupine quills, a double-barreled shotgun, a bang stick, and his rope, plus extra food, water, and gasoline. The swamp was a tricky beast. It lulled you, turned you into false channels, and threw a mud bar up under your keel when you thought you were in 6 feet of water. Here, panic was death. The lizard man made a little extra money in tourist season, guiding the greenhorns through it. It always amazed him how soft the tourists were, how white and overfed. He could almost hear the swamp drool when he brought the tourist in, and he made sure he stayed in the wide, safe channels, showed the greenhorns a few snakes and deer and such, and then got them out quick. They thought they'd seen a swamp. The lizard man just smiled and took their money. The Seminoles now. They were the tall tailors. You get a Seminole to visit the little hamlet where the lizard man lived, and his stories would make curly hair go straight. Like old Pope was a ghost gator, couldn't be killed by mortal man, but only by God himself. Like how old Pope had written on a bolt of lightning into the heart of the swamp, and any man who went looking for him was going to end up as a nugget of gator dung. The lizard man believed that one, almost. Too many of his friends had come in here and not come out again. Oh yeah, the swamp had teeth. Eat you up, bury you under. That was how it was. He cut his speed. The light showed a green morass ahead. Huge lily pads and emerald slime that sparkled with iridescence. The air was heavy, humid, pungent with life. A mist hung over the water, and in that mist glowed red rubies, the eyes of gators watching him approach. As his airboat neared, their heads submerged with thick, shucking sounds, then came back up in the foamy wake. The lizard man went on another 100 yards or so, then he cut off the rotor, and the airboat drifted, silent, through the mist. He lit a cigar, puffed smoke, reached for his rope, and began to slip knot a noose. The airboat was drifting over the lily pads, making toads croak and leap for safety. Just beyond the area of lily pads was a deeper channel that ran between glades of rushes, and it was at the edge of this channel that the lizard man threw his anchor over the side, a rubber boot full of concrete. The airboat stopped drifting in the midst of the rushes on the rim of the deep channel. The lizard man finished knotting the rope, tested it a few times, and found it secure. Then he went about the business of opening a metal can, scooping out bloody chunks of horse flesh, and hooking them into a fist-sized prong on the end of a chain. The chain, in turn, was fixed to the metal framework of the airboat's rotor and had a little bell on it. He tossed the bait chain out into the rushes. Then he sat on his perch with a gaff hook and the lasso near at hand, switched off the light, and smoked his white owl. He gazed up at the stars. The moon was rising, a white crescent, off in the distance toward Miami. Heat lightning flared across the sky. The lizard man could feel electricity in the night. It made his scalp tingle, and the hairs stand up on the backs of his sinewy tattooed arms. He weighed about 160 pounds, stood only 5'7", but he was as strong as a dolphin linebacker, his shoulders hard with muscle. The lizard man was nobody's kindly old grandpap. His gaze tracked a shooting star, a red streak, spitting sparks. The night throbbed. He could feel it like a pulse. To his right somewhere, a nightbird screeched nervously, and a gator made a noise like a bass fiddle. Tonight the swamp seethed. Clouds of mosquitoes swirled around the lizard man's face, but the grease and ashes he'd rub into his flesh kept him from biting. He felt the same powerful sensations he'd experienced when he was getting ready to cast off from shore. Something was going to happen tonight, something different. The swamp knew it, and so did the lizard man. Maybe the old Pope was on the prowl, mean and hungry. Maybe. Laney Allen had seen old Pope here, in this channel a year ago. The big gators cruised it like submarines, placid in the depths, angry on the surface. Laney Allen, God rest his soul, said the biggest gator paled beside the old Pope. Said the old Pope had eyes that shone like Cadillac headlamps in the dark, and his ebony green hide was so thick cypress roots grew out of it. The old Pope's wake could drown an airboat, Laney had said, and from grinning snout to wedge-shaped tail, the old Pope looked like an island moving through the channel. Laney and T-Bird Stokes had come out here in late April, armed with shotguns, rifles, and a few sticks of dynamite, to root old Pope out of his secret pocket. In May, a Seminole had found what was left of their airboat, the rotor and part of the splintered stern. The bell dinged. The lizard man felt the boat shudder as a gator took the bait. Teeth clenched around the cigar's butt, he picked up a high-intensity flashlight from its holder beside his seat and flicked it on. The gator was thrashing water now, turning itself over and over on the end of the chain. The lizard man's light found it there in the rushes. It was a young gator, maybe 4 feet long, not very heavy, but it was madder than hell-cast Lucifer and ready to fight. The lizard man got down off his perch, put on a pair of cowhide gloves, and watched the gator battle against the prong jabbed in its jaws. Foamy water and dark mud splatted him as the beast's tail smacked back and forth. The lizard man couldn't help it. Though he and the gators were always on opposite ends of the chain, he found a savage beauty in the sawtooth grin, the red-filmed eyes, the heaving, slime-draped body. But money was more beautiful, and the hides kept him alive. So be it. The lizard man waited until the gator lifted its head to try to shake the prongs loose. Then he let fly with a lasso. His aim, born of much practice, was perfect. He snared the gator's throat, drew the beast in closer, the muscles standing out in his arms and the boat rocking underneath him. Then he picked up the gaff hook and speared the wet belly as the gator began to turn over and over again in the frothy gray water. Blood bloomed like a red flower. The heart pierced, but the gator still fought with stubborn determination until the lizard man conked it a few times in the skull with a nail-studded billy club. The gator, its brain impaled, expired with a last thrash that popped water 10 feet into the air. Then its eyes rolled back into the prehistoric head, and the lizard man hauled the carcass over the side. He gave the skull another hard knock with a billy club, knowing that gators sometimes played possum until they could get a hold of an arm or leg. This one, however, had given up the ghost. The lizard man slipped the chain out of the prongs, which were deeply embedded and would have to be pulled out with pliers at a later date. He had a cardboard box full of prongs, so he attached another one to the chain, baited it with horse flesh, and threw it over the side. He freed his lasso from around the bleeding, swamp-smelling carcass, turned off his flashlight, and climbed again onto his perch. This was what his life was all about. An hour passed before the bait was taken again. This gator was larger than the first, heavy but sluggish. It had one claw missing, evidence of a fight. The lizard man hauled it in some, rested, hauled it in the last distance with a lasso and the gaff hook. Finally, the gator lay in the bottom of the airboat, with the first, its lung making a noise like a steam engine, slowly losing power. The lizard man, slime on his arms and his face, glistening with sweat, waited. It was amazing to him that these creatures had never changed. The world had turned around the sun in a million times, 100 times a million. The gator stayed the same. Down in the mud they dwelled in their secret swamp caverns, their bodies hard and perfect for their purpose. They slept and fed, fed and bred, slept and fed, and that was a circle of their existence. It was weird, the lizard man thought, that jet airplanes flew over the swamp and fast cars sped on the interstate only a few miles from here, while down in the mud dinosaurs stirred and crept. That's what they were, for sure. Dinosaurs, the last of their breed. The lizard man watched shooting stars, the dead cigar clamped in his teeth. The hair prickled on his arm. There was a power in the night. What was it? Something about to happen? Something different from all the other nights? The swamp knew it too, and it wondered in its language of bird calls, gator grunts, frog croaks, and whistles. What was it? The old Pope, the lizard man thought. The old Pope on the move. The moon tracked across the sky. The lizard man brought in his bait, found a water moccasin clinging to it. Then he pulled up anchor and guided the boat through the weeds with a gaff hook. The water was about 5 feet deep, but nearer the channel the bottom sloped to 12 or more. He found what he thought might be a good place next to a clump of cypress, a fallen tree angled down into the depths and speckled with yellow crabs. He let the anchor down again, threw out the bait chain, got up on his perch and sat there thinking and listening. The swamp was speaking to him. What was it trying to say? 10 minutes or so later, the bell dinged. Water foamed and boiled, a big one, the lizard man thought. Dance a little dance, he said, and turned on the flashlight. It was a big gator, true, but it was an old Pope. This beast was 7 feet long, weighed maybe 400 pounds. It was going to be a ball breaker to get in the boat. Its eyes flared like comets in the lights, its jaws snapping as it tried to spit out the prongs. The lizard man waited for the right moment, then flung his rope. It noosed the gator's muzzle, sealing the jaws shut. The lizard man pulled, but the gator was a powerful bastard and didn't want to come. Careful, careful, he thought. If he lost his footing and went overboard, God help him. He got the gaff hook ready, the muscles straining in his shoulders and back, though he already knew he'd have to use a shotgun on this one. He started to pick up the shotgun when he felt the airboat rise on a pressure wave. He lost his balance, came perilously close to slipping over, but the rubber grips of his boots gripped to the wet deck. He was surprised more than anything else at the suddenness of it, and then he saw the gator on the end of the chain thrash up and almost leap out of the foaming water. If a gator's eyes could register terror, then that was what the lizard man saw. The gator shivered. There was a ripping noise, like an axe tree falling. Bloody water splashed up around the reptile's body. Not only bloody water, the lizard man saw in another second, but also ropey coils of dark green intestines billowing out of the gator's belly. The beast was jerked downward with a force that made the rope and the chain crack taut, the bell dinging madly. The lizard man had dropped his light. He fumbled for it amid the gator carcasses, the ropes scorching his cowhide gloves. The airboat lifted up again, crashed down with a mighty splash, and the lizard man went to his knees. He heard terrible crunching noises, the sound of bones being broken. And just that fast, it was all over. He stood up, shaking. The airboat rocked, 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 a cradle on the deep. He found the light and turned it on, the beast at the chain's end. The lizard man gave a soft gasp, his mouth dry as Sahara dust. The gator had been diminished. More than half of it had been torn away, guts and gore floating in the water round the ragged wound. Bitten in two, the lizard man thought. A surge of pure horror coursed through him, bitten by something from underneath. Good God Almighty, he whispered, and he let go of the rope. The severed gator floated on the end of the chain, its intestines still streaming out in sluggish tides. On the fallen tree trunk, the crabs were scrambling over each other, smelling a feast. The lizard man realized that he was a long way from home. Something was coming. He heard it pushing the reeds aside on the edge of the deep channel, heard the swirl of water around its body and the suction of mud on its claws. Old Pope. Old Pope risen from the heart of the swamp. Old Pope, mean and hungry, coming back for the rest of the gator, caught on the chain's end. The lizard man had often heard of people bleeding with fear. He'd never known what that would have sounded like until that moment. It was indeed a bleat, like a stunned sheep about to get its head smashed with a mallet. He turned toward the airboat's engine, hit the starter switch, and reached for the throttle beside the seat. As soon as he gave the engine some gas, the rotor crashed against the frame bent by the force of Old Pope on the chain, and it threw a pinwheel of sparks and crumpled like wet cardboard. The airboat spun around in a tight circle before the engine blew, the flashlight flying out of the lizard man's grip as he fell onto the rough hides of the dead gators. He looked up, slime dripping from his chin as something large and dark rose up against the night. Swamp water streamed from Old Pope's armored hides, The lizard man could see that Lainey had been right. Roots, rushes, and weeds grew from the ebony green plates, and not only that, but snakes slithered through the cracks, and crabs scuttled over the leathery edges. The lizard man recoiled, but he could only go to the boat's other side, and that wasn't nearly far enough. He was on his knees, like a penitent praying for mercy at old Pope's altar. He saw something, a scaled claw, tendril, something, slither down and grasp the snared gator's head. Old Pope began to pull the mangled carcass up out of the water, and as the chain snapped tight against the entire airboat, started to overturn. In another few seconds, the lizard man would be up to his neck in deep shit. He knew that, and knew he was a dead man one way or the other. He reached out, found the shotgun, and gave old Pope the blast of a barrel. In the flare of orange light, he saw gleaming teeth, yellow eyes set under a massive brow, where 100 crabs clung like barnacles to an ancient wharf. Old Pope gave a deep grunt like the lowest note of a church organ, and that was when the lizard man knew. Old Pope was not an alligator. The severed gator slid into Old Pope's maw, and the teeth crunched down. The airboat overturned as the lizard man fired a second barrel. Then he was in the churning water with a monster less than 15 feet away. His boots sank into mud. The flashlight, waterproof, bobbed in the turbulence. Snakes writhed around Old Pope's jaws as the beast ate, and the lizard man floundered for the submerged tree trunk. Something oozing and rubbery wound around his chest. He screamed, being lifted out of the water. An object was beside him. He grabbed it, held tight, and the old Pope had decided on a second meal. He smelled the thing's breath, blood and swamp, as he was being carried towards the gaping mouth, and he heard the hissing of snakes that clung to the thing's gnarled maw. The lizard man saw the shine of an eye catching the crescent moon. He jabbed at it with the object in his grip, and the bang stick exploded. The eye burst into gelatinous muck, its inside showering the lizard man. At the same time, old Pope roared with a noise like the clap of doom, and whatever held the lizard man went slack. He fell, head over heels, into the water, came up again choking and spitting, and half ran, half swam for his life through the swaying rushes. Old Pope was coming after him. He didn't need an eye in the back of his head to tell him that. Whatever the thing was, it wanted this meat and bones. He heard the sound of it coming, the awful suction of water and mud as it advanced. The lizard man felt panic and insanity. Two Siamese twins whirled through his mind. Dance a little dance, prance a little prance. He stepped in a hole, went in over his head, fought to the surface again, and threw himself forward. Old Pope, swamp god, king of the gators, was almost upon him like a moving cliff, and snakes and crabs rained down upon the lizard man. He scrambled up out of the reeds into a mud flat. Hot breath washed over him, and then that rubbery thing whipped around his waist like a frog's tongue. It squeezed the breath out of him, lifted him off his feet, and began to reel him toward the glistening saw-edged jaws. The lizard man had not gotten to be 64 years old by playing dead. He fought against the oozing, sticky thing that had held him. He beat it with his fists, kicked and hollered and thrashed. He raged against it, and Old Pope held him tight and watched him with its single eye, like a man might watch an insect struggling on flypaper. It had him. It knew it had him. The lizard man wasn't far gone enough in the head not to know that, but still he beat at the beast. Still he hollered and raged, and still Old Pope inspected him, its massive gnarly head tilted slightly to one side and water running through the cracks on the skull deep, ugly of its face. Lightning flashed. There was no thunder. The lizard man heard a high whine. His skin prickled and writhed with electricity, and his wet hair danced. Old Pope grunted again. Another surge of lightning, closer this time. The abomination dropped him, and the lizard man plopped down into the mud flat like an unwanted scrap. Old Pope lifted his head, contemplating the stars. The crescent moon was falling to earth in a slow spiral. The lizard man watched it, his heart pounding and his arms and legs encased in mire. The crescent moon shot streaks of blue lightning like fingers probing the swamp's folds. Slowly, slowly it neared Old Pope, and the monster lifted a claw-fingered arms and called in a voice that wailed over the wilderness like a thousand trumpets. It was the voice, the lizard man thought, of something lost and far from home. The crescent moon, no, not a moon, but a huge shape that sparkled metallic was now almost overhead. It hovered, with a high whine, above the creature that had been known as Old Pope, and the lizard man watched lightning dance around the beast like homecoming banners. Dance a little dance, he thought, prance a little prance. Old Pope rumbled. The craggy body shivered like a child about to go to a birthday party, and then Old Pope's head turned, and the single eye fixed on the lizard man. Electricity flowed through the lizard man's hair, through his bones and sinews. He was plugged into a socket of unknown design, his fillings sparking pain in his mouth. He took a breath as the Old Pope stepped toward him, one grotesque ancient leg sinking into the earth. Something, a tendril, a third arm, whatever, came out of Old Pope's chest. It scooped up mud and painted the lizard man's face with it, like a tribal marking. The touch was sticky and rough and left to smell the swamp and reptilian things in lizard man's nostrils. Then Old Pope lifted his face towards the metallic crescent and raised its arms. Lightning flared and crackled across the mud flats. Birds screeched in their trees, and the voices of gators throbbed. The lizard man blinked. His eyes narrowed against the glare, and when the glare had faded 2 seconds later, the lightning had taken Old Pope with it. The machine began to rise slowly, slowly, then it ascended in a blur of speed and was gone as well, leaving only one crescent moon over the cacophonous swamp. The Seminoles had been right, the lizard man thought, right as rain. Old Pope had come to the swamp on a bolt of lightning and was riding one home again too, whatever that might be. He rested a while there in the mud of his domain. Some time before dawn he roused himself, and he found the piece of his airboat floating off the mud flat. He found one of his gaff hooks, too, and he lay on the splintered remnant of his boat and began pushing himself through the downtrodden rushes towards the far shore. The swamp sang around him as the lizard man crawled home on his belly.